Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and as usual, every Tuesday morning, we sit down and talk with somebody, a part of the West Texas A&M University's Agricultural Sciences Department. Today with me, I have Dr. Posey, who is a department head of Vero, as well as dealing with animal science.
Okay, got to start over. A department head.
Department head, what do you want me to say for you?
Yeah, I would say he's a veterinarian with Vero.
Okay. I can do that. Today with me, I have Dr. Dan Posey, who is a veterinarian at Vero, which is our own vet program here at West Texas A&M University. How are you doing today, Dr. Posey?
Oh, doing very well, Bryce. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing good. Well, to kind of get us started, you have been a huge influential role here at WT because, you know, we have started a great, you know, beginning vet program, pre-vet program, and you are one of the number one people to go to for this department and program. So kind of what got you started, you know, in the vet science aspect and what brought you to WT?
You bet. So I was actually raised in all over Texas. My father was in agriculture. He actually was a manager of several farms. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up in agriculture. As growing up, I wanted to be in agriculture, but I really didn't want to manage a farm. And so I started looking at other aspects. And one of the areas was the veterinary medicine, the agriculture support that veterinarians give. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be a rural veterinarian. Mm-hmm. And so I pursued that. Mm-hmm. When we moved to Lubbock, Texas from El Paso, mm-hmm. My father went into the egg processing, actually food business, and I went to Texas Tech University. I got a microbiology and animal science degree from the Texas Tech University, and that was my access to veterinary medicine. Mm-hmm. I went to Texas A&M in 1979 after graduating from Tech, and was involved in the College of Veterinary Medicine there, graduated from there in 1982, and then I had an opportunity to go into a mixed animal practice in Livingston, Texas. That's East Texas, a lot different environment than here. And being somebody that was raised in Lubbock, really the environment there was so much different, mm-hmm. that I didn't stay very long there, but I moved about an hour from there to Madisonville, Texas, and I practiced there for 20 years.
Wow. Well, so I know that the Vero program is still kind of a baby program. We got it a few years ago, but it is a huge role in the panhandle on helping the producers and even consumers out there. If you've seen the vehicle drive around Canyon or even Amarillo, that's our own program. So can you talk a little bit about what Vero does and what you do in that program and department?
Sure. So the Vero program was a program that Dr. Eleanor Green established here on the WT campus. Mm-hmm. Our partnership with WT, Texas A&M and WT, has started in 2009. We started bringing students up here to experience the panhandle. Mm-hmm. But we did that for a good while. The issue was that we would bring students that weren't raised in this area here to see the panhandle, try to increase the number of veterinarians that were serving this area. Mm-hmm. And that did not work well. So in 2016, Dr. Green hired me and Dr. Griffin to come here and to help establish the Vero program. Mm-hmm. The very first thing we did was start the recruitment of the high school students to WT, and also helping with the pre-vet program. And as you know, it has increased quite a mm-hmm. bit over the last 6 years. We now have over 223 pre-vets that are actually declared, mm-hmm. but that number approaches really 300 when you start looking at all the ones that actually are in the program. Mm-hmm. That partnership between Vero and WT WT was a very, very strong partner in here and helped us tremendously to establish the Vero program. So the next step in that was increasing the numbers. Our metrics were to increase the number of students applying to veterinary school from the Panhandle. So I don't just help WT. I help Texas Tech. I help the Wayland Baptist and Clarendon. There's 9 university and colleges that I visit mm-hmm. here in the Panhandle, and help to have pre-vets. There have a pathway to veterinary school. And so our numbers have increased tremendously mm-hmm. in the number of students that are applying from WT. Mm-hmm. When I first got here, we had about 1 or 2 applying every other year. Mm-hmm. And now we have 43 this last year that applied, and we had 25 get in. So this program's growing quickly. Mm-hmm. Then we have students that we actually have in this process that have graduated from veterinary school and have returned. So we're getting about a 60% return back to the Panhandle. Now, our numbers are small at first, but over time, we will have more and more veterinarians returning back here because their love of the Panhandle. And that's our goal.
Yeah. Well, I've got to say, you know, if you haven't seen it, it's right next to our Ag building, the Vero buildings. And it's amazing. And it's amazing how many students want to come up here for pre-vet. And it's an amazing program that, you know, you've created and you've put on, Dr. Posey.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about the reason we have so much success at WT with the pre-vet program is it's just not me. There's 10 faculty mm-hmm. members that are involved in this, administration is involved in this. So the vision that WT had to end this partnership is very vital portions mm-hmm. of that. The Vero program, we opened our building in 2020, mm-hmm. and there's 3 parts to that. The Vero name is the Veterinary Education, Research, and Outreach Program. And it's we do all 3 of those mm-hmm. Important parts. The outreach portions has to do with WT and the pre-vet program, visiting high schools, going to state convention, the CDEs that we do here. All those are recruiting opportunities. Mm-hmm. But we now have a 2+2, and we have the first 2 years of vet school is here on the WT campus in the Vero building. We have 18 students that do their first 2 years here. Then they go to College Station for their 3rd and 4th year. Mm-hmm. A lot of those students will return back here in their senior year and actually do the senior rotations. We've been doing senior rotations here for a really long time, mm-hmm. but in the Vero program, that was the very first thing we did, having senior vet students come and do cow-calf, a feedlot rotation, mm-hmm. a dairy rotation, and a rural practice rotation.
Well, you mentioned a little bit with the Vero name, education, research, and outreach, really hitting on that research aspect. You know, a lot of, you know, diseases, pathogens, bacteria, anything are, you know, found by vets and veterinary scientists. What is some of the research that you've done throughout your years or that WT has done or Vero has done recently with this, you know, different diseases and pathogens, bacteria, whatever it may be? What have you seen in your research and what you've done?
Yeah, so I think that everything that we do at Vero is partnered with WT. Mm-hmm. And so you think about all the different researchers that we have on this campus now, which is tremendous. Mm-hmm. Vero has Dr. Morley, who is the director of the research at Vero. Mm-hmm. And he works with feed yards and also cow-calf and dairies and also equine facilities and works on the microbiome issues associated with that. And the microbiome is, as you think about yourself, mm-hmm. The flora that you have inside you tells you what your disease resistance are and the things that you are actually dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so there's some predictability if we looked at the microbiome of disease resistance and how easy you get over diseases. Mm-hmm. So that's an important part. And Dr. Morley is a great find for us. He joined us in 2019 and has built a fantastic program. And that program is a partnership with WT. So mm-hmm. it's almost seamless in all the things that we do with WT. Mm-hmm. It's the educational portion, the research portion, and the outreach portions. They're all intertwined with each other. Me personally, I'm a clinical professor, so I really am a clinical educator, mm-hmm. and I spend most of my time teaching students. But in my background, some of the teaching effort that I've had has been research based, mm-hmm. meaning the teaching methods, mm-hmm. those things like that is what I've done. The other is that I spent a lot of time with feed yards and with researchers actually doing the hands-on data collection mm-hmm. that's needed for the research portion. So it's a great collaboration. As clinical professors, all of us over at Vero help in that research process with what's going on at WT and also going on with Vero.
Okay. And recently, you know, kind of just stray away from WT a second, yesterday we got headlines at KGNC from the USDA kind of talking about, you know, anthrax in beef cattle and kind of that the Dakotas are facing more of an anthrax problem, but could be spreading towards Texas. Didn't really give us much details about it. And, you know, when you think of anthrax, you immediately think of bioterrorism or anything. You don't really think about, you know, our livestock. But they said keep Texas on the watch. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, what that is? Because it tells us to go to vets and veterinary scientists to kind of figure what to do to prevent it.
So, you know, every year anthrax comes up as an issue. And in Texas, there's areas that we see anthrax quite often. Mm-hmm. It is endemic, meaning it's there all the time. The worry about, a disease outbreak of anthrax in North Dakota has it doesn't spread that way. It actually comes from spores mm-hmm. from the ground. So just think about this. So the buffalo that were here in the 1800s, mm-hmm. There was anthrax here. It killed some buffalo. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those buffaloes have been decomposed, but the spores from that, the disease that killed them, are still here. Mm-hmm. Now they're covered up with sand. They're covered up with clay. They're covered up with material. And so they're not present in our animals. Mm-hmm. But when we have weather like we have now and drought, and then we have a big rain come, it'll actually wash some of that debris away, especially in the canyons. Mm-hmm. And there would be animals, deer, cattle, that actually get exposed to the spores, and then they die from the anthrax disease. Mm-hmm. We see this all over Texas. It depends. Usually it's associated with a big rain. Mm-hmm. It's what it's associated after it's been dry. And we'll see that the anthrax spores, this bacteria that causes the disease, mm-hmm. that will, if the animals are eating or drinking water or those things, usually it's exposure to grazing, they will ingest the spores, and that's what kills the animal. Now, that it's a rare event.
Yes.
It's not a common event. And a little bit of rain, which we need, mm-hmm. is not anything to worry about anything about this, mm-hmm. because the spores have to be present, and you have to have animals that have passed away from anthrax. So the idea behind that is that this isn't something to be overly worried about, but it is something we deal in agriculture quite often.
Well, in kind of another event that's been going on that we kind of don't talk about a lot is avian influenza. It's kind of been a national headline. And of course, you know, the first case, you know, this year that came out was in Stephenville with some game birds and whatnot. I know that if avian influenza does kind of break out, it could cause some economic damage, and we're already in a, you know, crisis and a struggle with food supply chain and even supply and demand. What a little bit is avian influenza for some of those producers or consumers that, you know, we just see it and kind of push past it? Kind of what is it and what can it do?
Well, first thing, the assurance is that our food supply is very, very safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, if you think about the poultry industry, it's a very closed industry, meaning that there's not a lot of exposure of birds to avian and influenza because of the way that our poultry are produced.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have occasionally a outbreak that happens in the poultry industry. And we're dealing with this. The good thing about it is it gets identified quickly and addressed quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a virus. Usually the exposure is from non-commercial birds.
Mm-hmm.
So the food supply portion is safe.
Yeah.
But the avian influenza outbreak that I'm the most familiar with is the one in Houston a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it came out of the live chicken market there in Houston. And so that's where the exposures happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's also avian influenza in wild birds and gaming birds,
mm-hmm.
but wild birds, so that is where the access mm-hmm. comes, is that it's in that population.
Yeah, me and David Lovejoy were talking about that the other day, of kind of, you know, the aspects of it. You know, we get these national headlines talking about, you know, this outbreak or this outbreak, and it's good to hear, you know, kind of what does and kind of what it causes and how it can affect us. But
always remember this, is that the chicken that we eat,
mm-hmm.
There's no human danger associated with the avian influenza. This
mm-hmm.
is, like I say, they are addressing this. The industry does. This is so, so cool, because where we live is the industry is so close to, like, WT and Vero, that we have this partnership
mm-hmm.
with the veterinary school and industry here. And so when we have things like this crop up,
mm-hmm.
there's lots of veterinarians and agriculturists that are addressing these issues in our
mm-hmm.
food supply. But this one here causes no danger to people.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, the USDA, FDA, AMSA, they all make sure that, you know, whatever meat is consumed is well protected and always monitored.
Yes, we have the safest food supply in the world.
By far.
And part of the reason I wanted to become a veterinarian is because my father was a food producer.
Mm-hmm.
And being raised on that, the care that he took of animals, we took care of animals, it really made me want to be a veterinarian and not a small animal veterinarian, but
mm-hmm.
a veterinarian that would help to protect the food supply. So
I know that right now, kind of, we're getting more students come here for pre-vet, but we're always needing veterinarians out there in the world, no matter what, always needing them, whether it's small animal or large animal or mixed or whatever it may be. What could you tell some of those students that are considering WT to come here as a pre-vet student, and kind of what inspiration for this program to talk kind of like what WT is about? And
sure, I recruit a lot of veterinarians,
mm-hmm.
Pre-vets, to the profession. And this has been something I've done ever since I was in Madisonville, and then when I moved on to A&M,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, I got to move here, is an important part. As a veterinarian, we need to tell about the joy and the great things that we get to do in our profession. It is a great profession to be in.
Mm-hmm.
The students that we recruit for WT is that the idea is that we have such a vigorous program here. It is so vibrant. It's a great place to come because students are taken care of so very well. You're not
mm-hmm.
a number if you come to WT.
Mm-hmm.
You're a name. And the support that a student would get going towards a DVM is so imperative to come to a school like WT. I have some students that want to go to A&M and go to Texas Tech, and I encourage them to go there. But if you want a place where you will actually be prepared for veterinary school and have treated like, not like a number,
mm-hmm.
but have a person that has a history and we know you by your first names, that really does make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why we're growing here. And that's not just done by me. That is done by the whole WT University.
Mm-hmm.
this university prides itself on the student care. And once they have a little taste of that when they come on a recruiting visit, we don't hand our recruitment off just to a recruiter. We actually, as faculty, take pride that we try to meet every student and talk about what their dreams and goals are. Mm-hmm. And if WT will fit that, we surely encourage them to come here. Then in the process for veterinary school, that is something that we all do here, mm-hmm. is actually understanding how to make a strong application. Mm-hmm. And that's why our numbers have grown so much, is we mentor them all the way from freshman to their senior year, mm-hmm. so that they can go off and be a good representative of the WT educational system.
Yeah. And me and Dr. Keith talked about this a few weeks ago, how WT is just... It might be a small university, but it is a mighty one, and it's definitely an experience you have to feel for yourself, and that's what I love it here. But Dr. Posey, thank you so much for coming out, talking a little bit about the vet program, and talking about what you do as an influential role here at West Texas A&M.
Well, thank you so very much, Bryce. Have a wonderful day.
Well, that's it from us here at the KGNC studio. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your Tuesday morning.